Close your eyes and imagine what you'll look like 6 months from now. How's your hair look? The same? Now picture how your hair would look if you started using Hims. If you're picturing the same you as before, but with much thicker and fuller hair, you'd be correct. What can happen in 3 to 6 months? You could pick up a new hobby and get not that good at it yet. You could do about half of your New Year's resolution. You could learn a few songs on the piano or pick up bass guitar. Or you could start seeing thicker, fuller hair regrowth through Hims. Not bad for just 3 to 6 months. Men, if you're starting to notice your hair thinning when you look in the mirror, you're not alone. Life just gets busier and busier, and it can feel like there's not enough time in the day to do something about it. So, try Hims Hair Loss Solutions. You can avoid jumping through a bunch of frustrating hoops and get access to treatment without even leaving your home. Hims provides you with the convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary based on studies on topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. It's time for this week's Friday Morning GM. I'm riding solo today. Could not come up with a time that would work for co-hosts Matt or Voss. So we'll just talk through what is a very short list of items here, starting with some contract restructuring that was done by the Ravens to free up some cap space. Michael Pierce restructured. This is all per Brian McFarland. The new deal eliminates his 2025 roster bonus of $2 million. It also allows for a post-June 1 cut without using one of two special exemptions. Now, each year, each team is allowed to recharacterize two players as being post-June 1 cuts. And they would have liked to do that probably with Pierce to push some of that money into 2025. But they don't have to do that as they restructured the contract with Pierce such that he'll stay on the team until June 1st and then be released. So there was a roster bonus that would have been paid on March 16th. Instead, it won't be. The Ravens will split the benefit, getting $745,000 of that value now and another $1.245 million after 6-1. So just a smart finding. A little bit of cap space in the seat cushions, as Eric DaCosta has referred to it, that makes a lot of sense. I don't know, by the way, if there's some ancillary benefit for Michael Pierce. It could be that he stays on NFL benefits through June 1 by this happening. And he says, sure, give me 3 extra months of health benefits, no problem at all. I will tell you, the NFL benefits in general are CEO suite level benefits. They're better than anything I've ever seen, for sure. They're unbelievable matching contributions and health benefits, and they have a cafeteria style for a lot of things. If you read through this, you're like, they get all of this. You know, it's very well negotiated from the player's perspective. The only people who get better benefits in the United States are the highest level of C-suite people who can allocate their own benefits in a lot of ways. And they bring in compensation consultants to justify their own top-level wages. But in this case, the NFL benefits are terrific, and Michael Pierce may have an ancillary benefit in that regard. Arthur Maulet was cut. I don't know if we talked about this already, so we're just going to go over it again here really briefly. It was expected, of course. The Ravens aren't carrying an additional slot corner, and they have a cap savings of $2.2 million out of it. The Ravens don't really have a pure slot corner at this point. They have Humphrey, and he has played there very effectively last year, of course, as we know. Ardarius Washington has played effectively and won that job a couple of times, but he probably will have duty at free safety or somewhere on the back end this season. And then they have, of course, Hamilton, who's played a lot of big nickel. And I think that's the way to go. They don't really need an accumulation of slot corners. What they need is a fairly deep rotation of outside corners, which will allow them and safeties for that matter, which will allow them to move those other three very versatile players into the slot and use them as they would like to. So anyway, Arthur Maulet, no longer a Ravens, and there's some cap savings there, as I mentioned. Next one is Marlon Humphrey getting restructured. And it's a simple restructure, as I understand it. There may have been some void years included in this as well, but a simple restructure of his 2025 salary, as far as I know, which converts everything above the vet minimum to a bonus. The cap borrowing is then from future years. So you effectively, he had 2 years left on this deal, and they're effectively calling it all signing bonus other than the vet minimum, and he can split some of that, the base salary amount, into 2 years then effectively to save some cap on a little bit less than what would have been half his salary. Leaves the Ravens with just under $8 million in effective cap space as of 3/26. You'll see another number that's about $11 million thrown around. That's cap, but it's not effective cap. So the $8 million is really the number they have left. If you're looking for what do they need to go into the season with, the usual good rule of thumb is that they need about $5 million to deal with injuries as they go during the season and fill holes on the roster created of that ilk. You hope a healthy year can save you a lot of cap in that regard. It can save you $4 or $5 million if you don't have to make many of those moves. You have some other things that occur. You have people elevated from the practice squad, costs you a little bit of money on a weekly basis, but not really too much, because in a whole season, you probably only have about 20 to 25, maybe 30 at the top end elevations that you make. And those elevations cost you the difference between the practice squad salary and the single game minimum salary, which might be about, I'm going to say something like $30,000. So really, all even 25 of those only going to cost you $750,000. So that's actually a very small contribution. What becomes more significant is when you have to extend your 53-man roster and have additional people on while you're also paying people who are on injured reserve, and everything counts against the cap, of course, and that will cause you some additional cap, more than the seat cushion money we're talking about here. So they need several million to deal with that on an ongoing basis. The other big move, and this just happened, the official signing just, I believe, happened today, is Chidobe Awuzie coming to the Ravens. He is no longer a young man. Enter his ninth NFL season, will be 30 in May. He gets a one-year vet minimum deal. Now, this is pretty good because the Titans paid him a lot of money last year, and they'll still be paying him about $7.5 million this year. But because his deal had offset language, he becomes a terrific value to the Ravens. He actually was not bad at all last year for the Titans, which I'm going to get into a little bit. So Awuzie is 6'2", 202, aircraft carrier size at corner. That really used to be even more true. Now 6 feet is right about the median height for a corner. You're short if you're 5'10 playing corner in this league, and you're really short if you're playing 5'10 on the outside. But he's still a big corner, and at 202, that's nice and heavy. Plays exclusively on the outside. He's really never been a slot corner. You see that designation a few times within PFF stuff, but it's more a matter of he's chasing a particular receiver for a particular game, or he's following the motion of a receiver, which at the snap may cause a different positional designation. But truth is, Awuzie's value is always on the outside in terms of having that kind of size. I think he adds a veteran presence, certainly a very physical presence. I think he plays like a Raven in a lot of ways in terms of wanting to make tackles coming downhill. Been a pretty good tackler. in his career. Last year had one of his good years, and his missed tackle rate for his entire career is only 8.9%, but last year was 7.7%. That is very good for a cornerback. Very good. More impressive, and this is very good that this is happening still at age 30. He allowed 6.9 yards per target last year. And remember, Brandon Stevens was 8.4, 8.6, whatever it was. And his opposition passer rating last year was just 74.1. Plus, he only had one penalty in 194 coverage snaps. That is one hell of a year for him to be out of a job at this point. And very surprising to me that the Ravens are able to get him over some other teams. But I guess one of the advantages you have is if you have a level of payment, which is going to always be offset from your current salary, if your current deal has offset language, then you're pretty well want to go to one of the best teams or you have a chance to win the Super Bowl. So the Ravens had a chance to get a Woozier this way. And honestly, a cornerback of this quality, very difficult to find otherwise. So, you know, not a name that I think Ravens fans have thought too much of, particularly while he's playing in Cincinnati, where he did for 3 years. He was a prospect when he came in to Dallas as a second round pick. He's drafted number 60 overall way back in 2017. So, you know, he's been in the league for a while and definitely a guy who the Ravens, I think, will try and get value out of this year. If you're talking about what...
If you're looking for a better way to unwind, focus, or even get a good night's sleep, listen up. Let me tell you about Mood, the online cannabis company that's changing the game when it comes to functional gummies. They've crafted a whole line up of federally legal THC blends designed to help with everything from stress to sleep to mental clarity and even some spicier needs if you're into that. Now, what makes Mood different? They go beyond just THC. They pair it with herbs and adaptogens to create targeted effects that you won't find in any other dispensary. And every gummy is made with pesticide-free, small-farm American cannabis, so you're getting quality that you can trust. I've tried their sleep gummies, and let me tell you, takes about 15 minutes, and I'm out cold, no grogginess, no weird side effects, getting some of the best sleep I've gotten in my life when I take one of these gummies. And if you need a mood boost, there are epic Euphoria gummies, game changers. And right now, Mood is giving listeners 20% off their first order by using the promo code RAVENS at checkout. So head on over to mood.com, find the perfect gummy for whatever life throws your way, and don't forget to use the promo code RAVENS to save 20%.
Hopes there are for 2025, and we'll handle a lot of this on the expectation series, but I think you'd hope he gets limited playing time. Whatever playing time he gets, it's not 100% that it'll be a case of injury. It could be a case of ineffectiveness, but I'd look at the quarterback totem pole as Humphrey, obviously the top, Wiggins number two, then TJ Tampa probably number three, also competing for time potentially with a draft pick. And I think the Ravens, one of the places where they may use a draft pick is at corner. It's an older group now with both Humphrey and Awuzier in there. Awuzier is only signed for 1 year. So there'd be lots of reasons why you'd want to try and draft another quality corner. And I think it's just a matter of how the board falls to them. They don't have to draft a corner, but they certainly could. JAD is sitting there at the bottom of that totem pole right now. So he could be a guy who's impacted by this signing. We'll talk about that in just a minute. But wherever he is on the totem pole, I think the result is going to be the fewer defensive snaps, the better for Awuzier. So less is more. Not sure if he will play on special teams. He had just four such snaps in 2024, and he hasn't covered kickoffs the last four seasons. During that time, he's had six punt return snaps. I don't know if those are actually as a punt returner. They may well have been, or as someone who's you know, a blocker on one of the gunners, that could be as well. Most of his career special teams effort, and certainly most of what's happened during the last four seasons, has been on the field goal block unit, where he's been trying to block field goals from the edge. A lot of times he'll take up a position in the middle of the field and try and be there to either make a tackle on a fake or jump on a loose football. We all remember Anthony Mitchell, so we don't all remember it. It's a lost artifact of Ravens history, but Anthony Mitchell had one of the most important plays in Ravens history doing just that in the 2000 playoffs against Tennessee. Think Ouzier represents cheap insurance if Tampa or the draft pick cannot step up or if injuries occur, certainly. And the Ravens, as I mentioned, have not really addressed slot cornerback otherwise, and I don't think they necessarily will. They'll go to camp with their guys. They may pick up a guy in the draft, but I don't think they really have a need to get a pure slot corner. I also think those guys are easier to find. They're kind of the relievers of cornerbacks, that there are just a lot of them floating around that you can get to do a more limited role, particularly when that limited role is going to just supplement what you want to try and get out of a Hamilton and a Humphrey. And they may do that, in fact, in season. So we'll see how that plays out. In terms of the downstream impacts of the Ouzier signing, I think it reduces the chance that JAD makes the roster pretty significantly in year four. He's coming to camp, I'm sure. He's very definitely a possible cut or trade candidate if depth holds up. So it's been a difficult 3 years for JAD in Baltimore. He's never really learned to find the football in the air, which is probably the biggest frustration Ravens fans have with him. And just never really been able to get it right. And even last year in camp, everybody's praising him. No, when I say everybody, Harbaugh's praising him. A bunch of media people were kind of falling into the trap of praising him as well. There just wasn't anything to like. I mean, he's almost like a very fast traffic cone who can run alongside of a receiver, but then not impede the actual catch in much of a way, because he just can't see the ball. Not even like Stevens is he good at the catch point, at being physical and getting up to it. The Browns game, you may remember the loss to the Browns in week 9 or 10, one of the really lowest points of the Ravens season. He made a nice play on the football, and I was noting that this is something I really want to write about. And then shortly after that, he gave up a touchdown, and frustrating game. So he's a player that I think is on borrowed time here, along with David Ajabo would be the other major one this year, who's might be a trade or cut at the end of camp as a fourth year player. Another impact that we haven't really talked about, and I have no idea where the Ravens are with this guy, is that Tre'Davious White was a player that I had hoped would be re-signed, and he meets the outside cornerback need. He's basically the same age as Ouzier, might be 1 year older. But I think that this signing really greatly reduces the chance that Tre'Davious White is re-signed. And it may be an indication that the Ravens, if they've had discussions, those discussions were not close. There's other reasons why, if they've got Ouzier in one hand and Tre'Davious White in the other, they might have decided for Ouzier because of the offset contract and the fact that Ouzier can be signed for the vet minimum and White probably cannot be. So even if it's a fairly small amount over the vet minimum, say $3 million, the Ravens are still going to make the efficient play. And if Ouzier is 80% of the player, they're probably going to want to do that for $1 million or a little bit over $1 million instead of $3 million or $4 million with White. So good player. And I thought that he had a pretty good year stepping in and rotating with Stevens towards the end of the year. But unfortunately, I don't see him coming back to the Ravens this next year. I think it is likely, if I had to say, that the Ravens, in terms of defensive backs, will probably draft one cornerback and two safeties, if I had to guess. I think they'll definitely draft one free safety, and the team is otherwise really short at that position. So I think they'll probably draft two. Might see a combo guy. Very well may see a cornerback in particular, could be a safety also, with a kick return background or a punt return background, such that there's more competition for that job. I think that's something they'll look for in terms of filling out their special teams unit. So definitely something that I want to see. But they've got to draft a free safety. You've heard me talk about it a lot. And that's a position that's critical in order to get Hamilton back versatilized and able to come down in that slot. Not sure the impact on TJ Tampa. And I'm honestly not sure where the Ravens are on him either. I got a little bit of playing time last year when injuries hit, and a little bit more actually more time injuries hit in game, but really more of it was at the end of games in blowouts when he got a few snaps. There's not really a obvious path to playing time for him unless he is considered the Ravens, truly considered the Ravens' third corner right now. And I think he at least will face a challenge from a draft pick in that regard, and he might face a challenge from Awuzie as well. So we'll see how that plays out. But this would be a good year. The Ravens really want to see, and they're highly incented to know what Tampa has in terms of ability on the field. He was a highly thought of corner, my number six corner in the 2024 draft, a guy who is a little bit, had his stock drop a lot due to a 4.59 40, but is a guy who honestly is a pretty good talent, had very good coverage metrics, even though his 40 time cost him some money. Hopefully Tampa gets a chance and will play some next year. I'm certain he'll be a significant special teams force for the Ravens. All right, so that's it. Chidobe Awuzie coming to Baltimore, kind of an exciting signing, definitely a bargain bin signing, as DaCosta has alluded to. And hopefully there are a few more, because the team still has some spots to fill in the roster. Would love to see them get a safety of a similar ilk, perhaps a guy who somebody else is paying and they can pay the vet minimum. Thanks for listening in. I'll be back with either Matt or Voss next week. Not 100% sure. Go Orioles. They're now, as I record this, are leading 6-2 in the game. So really excited about that. Going to get back to it. And I hope you listen in for the draft shows. They're coming up. The first one is out on Thursday. If you want to look for it, it's a running back countdown from 10-1 with Gabe Ferguson. Some fantastic stuff in there. And we'll have 11 of those double episodes coming out. The next one is on offensive tackle with James Ogden, and that'll post on Saturday and Sunday, the two parts of that. I expect that to be a fantastic discussion, because James really knows his stuff, and I love talking offensive line. So thanks for all the listens out there, folks. If you have an idea for a film study short, hit me up. DMs are always open on Twitter, and I want to hear from you. We'll talk to you next time on Friday Morning GM. Thank you.